Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we're so grateful for your presence. Lord, to be able to breathe your presence and have it infiltrate us this morning, Lord. How humble it makes us. We are but a tiny speck. And this amazing God loves us. Loves us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Thank you, Jesus, that you obeyed the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for that day. Lord, because now we stand in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Well, welcome, everybody. All right. I had a little bit of trouble preparing this message this morning. I didn't know what I was going to say until Friday afternoon. And that's not normal for me. I normally have at least a bit of a topic, a bit of a flow. But you'll understand why in a minute why that happened to be. So this morning, I feel that the Lord is going to speak to us about what is stuck to you. So what have you got stuck to you that you're unaware of, that might be clouding your judgment in some way, that might be preventing you from shining Jesus' light better than you have been? If we want to live a life for Jesus and be transparent and completely sold out for him, we need to be keeping our relationship with him strong, yeah? This world is full of distractions, and the enemy of our soul is constantly trying to throw things in front of us that will shift our focus onto the wrong things and take our focus off the path that God has for us. Some months ago, like a lot of you would have, I watched at least a part of the Queen Elizabeth Memorial Service when she passed, and the processional of all of the soldiers and the dignitaries walking through the streets in honour of the Queen. It was amazing to watch this celebration of her life and the amazing Queen that she has been to the Commonwealth. And to see the honour bestowed upon her and the military precision with which the whole thing was carried out, which she planned, by the way. Each person involved in that procession knew their role. They knew what they had to do. They were in step with one another. It was like a large machine with small moving parts, and they all had a specific role to play that day. And I believe they all understood the gravity of what they were doing that day. You can be sure that not one person would have wanted to be the one who sneezed, who stepped out of line, who had a drippy nose, who may have messed up in some way and ruined what an auspicious occasion that was. As I watched, I saw the soldiers in military precision walking towards horse manure. Behind the horses that had gone before them, the soldiers just kept walking. They knew the manure was there. They ignored it. They kept going. It was all over their shoes, probably their socks, maybe their trousers, or whatever thing they were wearing. They kept going. They did not flinch. They did not step out of time. They did not move aside. They did not go, hey, mate, just look at it. You don't want to be touching it. You're going to be walking in it for the rest of the day, by the way, if you walk in there. They didn't move. Precision just kept going despite the manure they were walking through. How often do we feel like, Lord, please, I'd rather not walk through that. I would rather not put my foot in that right now. How often do we avoid what the Lord's asking us to walk through? How often do we complain about what the Lord's asking us to walk through? Because we don't want to get stuff on our shoes. We don't want to deal with the consequences. We don't want to deal with what might bubble up. I hate manure. I hate getting my shoes dirty. But God wants us to stay in time. God wants us to walk with precision. He wants us to walk where He's called us to walk. And sometimes that will mean walking through manure. You get what I'm saying? I'm sure the world has a different way of saying that phrase. They had to finish the procession with manure on their shoes. They were standing there for hours. They were walking for hours. As you know, it went on all day. They would have smelt it. They would have known it was there. The guy standing next to him would have known it was there. Like, mate, really? Now's not the time. Or there might have been some that were unaware. They were so focused on the goal, on the prize, on the end, on what they had to do, they were completely unaware of what they'd stepped in. Sometimes that happens in life too. You step in something in the circumstances of life and you don't realise until something starts going wrong and you smell it on your shoes. And imagine them back at their stables or wherever they go, get all their gear off. They then have to spend hours scrubbing those shoes to get them clean again for the next time they've got to be used. The mud can't stay. The mud has to go. But there's a purpose in the mud. There's a purpose in the manure. Recently, I was standing in church during worship, and I happened to notice a small sticker stuck to the inside of my finger. I had no idea up to that point the sticker was there. I had clearly pulled off a label or something earlier in the morning, and a little bit of the sticker had got stuck to my finger. And this got me thinking, and I felt the Lord speak to me in that moment. What is stuck to you? What have you picked up that is stuck to you? It dropped like a bomb in my heart, and I felt an immediate need to repent in that moment. What do I have stuck to me? What have I allowed to enter into my life, walking through the manure, that I've allowed to stick on and stay there and stop me from fulfilling the purposes that He has for me? We may unknowingly pick up an unwanted passenger or two when we walk through that manure. Something that has now become part of us, whether we intended it to or not. A small deviation from the right path that God has for us that will now influence every decision and every part of our walk with Jesus. 1 Peter 5:6 to 10 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not in this alone, people. People all over the world are walking through manure as well. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will he himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So what can become stuck to us apart from the manure? We can allow things to cling on to us through the circumstances of life by just opening the door. Pride, envy, anger, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, hurt, pain, feelings of unworthiness, rejection, and there's lots more. These are all little stickers that can become stuck to us when we're walking through the journey of life and we don't deal with these things immediately. They stick on. They start sticking on. And like the first slide showed, eventually there's a lot of them. The enemy will see a moment of weakness and he will pounce. The word just told us that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. If you've ever watched a nature video, movie, whatever, you see that lions don't stand out in the meadow. I'm going to have that one, then for dinner I'm going to have that one, and then maybe for dessert I'm going to have a little zebra. They don't do that. They hide in the bushes. They're sly. They're sneaky. The enemy is sly and sneaky. He hides in the bushes, seeking whom he may devour. And if you are not self-controlled and alert and resist him, he will have his fill. All of these things have the potential to stick onto us and like glue and become a part of who we are. They are subtle, they are quiet, they are manipulative, and they are dangerous because they draw our focus away from Jesus. We heard some great testimonies last week from the Shalom guys about the things in their life that eventually became obvious to others, that they could no longer hide what was happening inside because it was becoming a mess outside. How often do we think we're doing pretty good at hiding it, doing pretty good at making sure that sticker can't be seen by anyone? I'll just hide that under my jacket so nobody can see. We may think we're doing okay. We may think we're clean as a whistle, but we are constantly wrestling with the world, our flesh, and the devil. We are at war, people, and we have been redeemed and we are now walking in victory, but we still have to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We still have to resist it so that it flees. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So in that passage, it's talking about the world, our fleshly desires, and the devil. They're the three things that we are battling against every day we get up in the morning. So how do we get the things stuck to us? I'm going to bring up a very controversial subject. Please forgive me. If COVID has taught us anything, it's that the average person is now has a greater understanding of the world of microbiology. We have been retrained on how to wash our hands, how to touch our face, and how to interact with the world, because we're now all very cognizant of a micro world that could be trying to hurt us. We all knew about it beforehand, but we've been made hyper aware now. It's the same in the spirit realm. We can be susceptible to the enemy's schemes without realizing. So we need to be alert. We need to be on guard. We can allow the simplest things to distract us and shift our focus from what God is calling us to do. We may find that we have become accustomed to something that is not good for us, and that may even be harmful to our spiritual health, but we let it slide. It's no big deal. Who's going to know? If I hide that sticker, if I hide that, no one will know it's there. God knows it's there. God knows it's there. And how can you have a transparent relationship with Jesus if they know that's there? We all know the story of the frog in the pot. You put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump out. You put it in a pot of cold water and bring it slowly to the boil, it'll stay there and boil to death. It's nice and warm. It's in water where it's natural habitat. It's happy. Oh, this is getting cozy. It's getting a little bit, my foot's getting a bit hot there. That bottom of the pot's getting a bit warm. But it doesn't get out because it's been tricked into thinking that it's okay to stay there. The enemy will trick you into thinking it's okay to hide that sticker. That's a lie. It's not okay to hide the sticker. It's okay to throw your glasses on the floor, though. The world and its sinful pleasures can open a door for things to become part of us and stick to us. So the door could be just ajar, and there's room for the enemy to sneak in there. There's room for the lust of the flesh to sneak in there. There's room for the worldly pleasures to sneak in there. The door doesn't have to be wide open, just needs to be ajar. Just ajar. We are all susceptible to these doors being pushed ajar. Our sinful nature is in constant war. There are lots of things that can push ajar a door. It might be things like, and this is just a small snippet of things, but getting involved at work with a slightly off-coloured joke. Going to a party that perhaps you probably shouldn't have gone to. Looking at someone for a little bit longer than you should have, who is not your marriage partner. Watching that movie that's on the edge. Right on the edge. Oh, but I want to know what happens. I'm involved in the plot line now. Too bad. Turn it off. It's not good for you. It's putting a sticker where it doesn't belong. That friendship that drags you away from God and isn't good for you, and you know it's not good for you, but you stay in relationship with that person anyway. That seemingly harmless hobby that you have, that you fill all your time with, that draws you away from your family, your friends, and God. That job that consumes you, leaving no time to foster godly relationships or spending time with Jesus. And other toxic relationships in your life that you should have cut and run a long time ago, and you didn't. These are all doors ajar. Places where the enemy can use against you to put a sticker where it doesn't belong. Sometimes we like to keep the door propped open. Next slide. I'll just put that there because I wouldn't want it to slam shut by mistake. I wouldn't want the wind to blow that shut, maybe the wind of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to prop something in the door, keep it open because I'm enjoying that thing that I'm getting pleasure out of. I'm actually, it's feeding something in me. It's not doing anyone any harm. I'm not hurting anybody. You're hurting you. You're hurting you. You're hurting your relationship with Jesus. It's putting massive stickers on you everywhere and you can't see it happening. Pull it out of the door. Shut the door. Don't let it open again. Don't believe the enemy when he's trying to deceive you to tell you that it's okay to leave the door ajar. It's not. Put steps in place. Stop streaming services or whatever it is that you need to do to put steps in place to close the door. I remember many years ago, about 35 years ago, I was in a toxic relationship with a lady from my children's school. She was a very lonely lady. Her marriage had broken up and I was trying to minister to her. Well, this relationship ended up extremely toxic, where she wouldn't leave me alone. She was banging on the door at all times of the day and night, ringing me, and eventually she was asking me for money. This lady was very, very needy, and it took my husband to say to me, there is something wrong here, for me to listen. I didn't realise what was going on. I had to cut that relationship off. I never spoke to her again. I had to repent to the Lord because I had left a door ajar. And this woman had thrown it open and stomped all over me in this toxic relationship. I'm grateful that I had a godly husband who could point it out because I was drowning and I didn't know. So now what I do, if I think there is a door ajar in my life, I ask myself some questions. Is this open door going to help my relationship with Jesus? Am I feeling uncomfortable for some reason? Often when you've got a door ajar, the Holy Spirit is prompting you. He'll be saying, something's not right here. Shouldn't be touching that, shouldn't be looking at that, shouldn't be doing that, shouldn't be going there. You'll feel it. You'll know. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. If you're feeling uncomfortable, that's the Holy Spirit telling you to shut the door. Another question I ask is, if Jesus was here physically in the flesh, would I be embarrassed? Would I be ashamed? Would I be making excuses for my behaviour? For the reason I'm keeping the door ajar. Is this situation pulling me backwards or drawing my focus to the things that are ungodly? Is this relationship or friendship a godly one? Am I feeling like I need to hide it? That's a big one. Is this something I feel I need to hide from my marriage partner? Hide from my family, hide from my friends. That is a door ajar. Slam it shut. No matter the consequences, slam it shut. And it may mean confessing. It may mean being really honest with God and your family. And bringing something to light that has been in the dark for a long time. And I know this is a hard message this morning, but I'm speaking on what God told me to say. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How often do we catch ourselves going into a spiral of, especially if you're talking to someone else, yeah, I agree, I don't think they should have done that at all, and you spiral into this gossipy, moany, horrible vortex. Is that that? I don't think so. Think of what is pure. And if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about that. The worship team this morning, great job, guys. You did an awesome job. Brought us into the presence of God. That is excellent and praiseworthy. Thank you, guys. Whatever is pure and holy and lovely, think about those things because they are godly things. God will never have you thinking about something that isn't pure and holy. He won't let you think about those things. The enemy will try and put those things in your mind. That's the enemy. You're going to need to shut the door and tell him where to go. Resist him and he will flee. The things that are stuck to you can obscure the light within you. Next slide, thank you. This is what it can look like when you've allowed things to stick to your heart. The light can no longer shine. It's covered by the stuff that you've let stick to you when you've been walking through the manure, which we all do. We all have to walk through manure at times. Someone dies, relationship breaks down, sickness, lots of circumstances through life we have to walk through because we live in this world. Don't let anything stick to you when you're walking through that, because that's what you'll look like at the end. You'll have more stickers than you will of Jesus. His light will no longer be able to shine through you. And there goes your testimony of what he's done in you. Every time we hold on to a feeling like anger or hurt, we are preventing the light of God to penetrate that part of us. We are choosing to stay in darkness in that area. It's our choice. The Lord will never come and push us over because that's not how he loves us. He loves us and wants the best for us. And he wants us to respond to his love and be willing to let go of those stickers. Ephesians 5, 8 to 13 says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Bring them out into the light. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible." If you think about it, if you've come from one room into another, you're in a bright room, you go into a dark room, you can't see. Your eyes can't adjust. Turn the light on. Everything's visible. Oh, the bed's over there. The lamp's over there. Blah, blah. Light makes everything visible. So don't allow the stickers to stop things from being visible. It's important to know too that the stuck things on you can become very heavy. The longer we carry things, the more we feel the weight of them. Sometimes we are unaware of how heavy something is until we're at breaking point. We've all heard about the last straw breaking the camel's back, and despite my searches to find a straw picture, I couldn't find an appropriate one. So this camel is carrying hats. So in this particular case, the last hat will break the camel's back. We are the same. The more stickers or hats or whatever we choose to carry, the heavier the load. There was a psychology professor who was teaching stress management principles to an auditorium filled with students. As she raised a glass of water, the students thought it would be the typical glass half empty, glass half full scenario. Instead, with a smile on her face, the professor said, "How heavy is this glass I'm holding?" The students started to shout out ranges of weights, you know, 2 pounds, 3 pounds. She replied, "From my perspective, the absolute weight of this glass doesn't matter. It all depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute or two, it's fairly light. If I hold it for an hour straight, its weight might make my arm ache a little bit. If I hold it for a day, my arm will likely cramp up and feel completely numb and paralysed, forcing me to drop the glass to the floor. In each case, the weight of the glass and the water in it doesn't change. But the longer I've held it, the heavier it is." As the class shook their heads in agreement, she continued, "Your stresses and worries in life are very much like this glass of water. Think about them for a while and nothing happens. Think about them for a bit longer and you begin to ache a little. Think about them all day long and you will feel completely numb and paralysed, incapable of doing anything else until you drop them." Now, I know she's talking about stress management here, but the principle is the same. The more stickers you have stuck to you, the more you'll be consumed by what put them there. The door that was ajar that allowed the sticker to stick to you, the more you'll think about it, the heavier that load will become. And the more resentment you hold, the more anger you hold, the more pain you hold, the more hurt you hold, the more you foster a toxic relationship, the heavier it will feel. And you'll be thinking, "Oh man, this Christian thing, I'm just not sure I can do it. It's not for me." Yes, it is for you. Let go of all the rubbish. Let go of all the stickers and give it to Jesus, because it's not meant to be like that. We live in victory. Hallelujah. We come from a place of victory. The battle's already won. But the devil keeps trying anyway. And we have to resist him. Sometimes we don't know what's stuck to us. Are you aware of those things that are stuck to you? Sometimes we're completely unaware. And it won't be until we're going through a situation, one of those stickers will come flying out your mouth. Anger, hurt, rejection will come flying out your mouth. I had it happen recently, something I tend to constantly have to get the sticker of anger off me, because I do, that's my default position, is anger. So I constantly have to be repenting, "Lord, get the sticker of anger off me, because it will bubble up and I'll be like, I just want to hit the wall, because I'll get cross. And I have to constantly go to the Lord, "Please, I put this at your feet. I'm putting this at your feet. Forgive me, Lord. I've let it in again. I've opened a door somewhere. I've let it in again." So the questions I have for you are, can you see your stickers? Can you feel them? Can you smell them? Remember the horse dung? Can you smell it? Can others see it on you? The morning I saw the sticker on my finger, I immediately felt I had to repent and ask forgiveness for the things I've allowed to stick to me without me realising. I don't want anything stuck to me that isn't of God. It's interesting to note that sometimes, next slide, others see the things that are stuck to you before you do. And you see that often in a marriage. The partner will see in the other partner, they've got a bit of a problem with that. Letting our emotions get a bit the best of you. And then that partner will see in that one, you got a real problem with, you know, watching movies they shouldn't, and get very judgmental about it. Very common in a marriage, but it's also common in relationships, and it's common in the body of Christ. We will see in others stickers on them. Oh, gee, I think they might have a bit of hurt over that situation that occurred whenever. And sometimes you need somebody to come alongside you and say, hey, can I pray with you? Because I just really feel that for some reason that hurt and resentment is bubbling up in you. Let's just pray about it. That's why I've put that picture there. Because it's not about judgment. It's not about pointing out other people's errors or pointing out what's stuck to them and going, well, I'm glad I don't have that problem. It's about coming alongside people and saying, let's walk this journey together. Let's pray for one another. Let's help one another get our stickers off. And that's hard because it means you've got to be vulnerable. It means you need to be transparent and open. And that's a difficult thing. But I do say the caveat on that is someone you trust. Someone you know will hold it between you and God and them. That it won't be something that's gossiped about. The stuck things can be hard to remove. Going back to those soldiers, they would have spent hours cleaning their boots because they wouldn't have wanted a hint of horse manure on them the next time they went out to do what they had to do. The sticker on my finger was easy to remove. 2 days ago, I had to go to the dentist. Not my favourite thing. I had to have a crown put in. And normally, I used to be a dental nurse, so I know what happens, but normally, the temporary crown will just flick off. No worries, no needles required in a crown insert appointment normally. It'll flick off. They put the other one in with a bit of cement, and off you go. So this is what I was expecting on Friday. Well, 20 minutes went by, and the crown wouldn't come off. And she's going, are you okay? Because she knows I get very anxious. Are you okay? We're just having a little bit of trouble getting the crown off. And I'm like, yes, I'm fine. Just keep going. Well, eventually she had to numb me with 2 needles and dig that thing out with the drill. And now you're all feeling yucky, aren't you? So what I thought my experience at the dentist was going to be on Friday did not quite end up being what I thought it was going to be. She eventually got it off by breaking it into pieces. The bonding agent that she'd used in the previous appointment was so strong that it was very difficult to get out. And the Lord dropped into my heart, that's your analogy for Sunday. Sometimes those stickers are hard to remove. Sometimes they take digging. Sometimes you've got to numb other parts of you to get that wretched thing out. Sometimes you've got to work hard to remove that sticker because it's deep. It's bonded strong. It's cemented there. And you've got to get implements in to try and dig that wretched thing out. This is why VMTC is such an awesome ministry, because they will help you do that. They will help dig those bits out that need going. And be prepared, if you're really willing to submit yourself to God, sometimes it's going to take pain. Sometimes it's going to take a lot of work to get the stuff out that doesn't belong there anymore. The stuck things have outlived their purpose. So not everything that we allow in starts out bad. Sometimes they have a purpose. My crown, temporary crown, had a purpose. It protected my tooth for 2 weeks while the proper crown was made. The sticker on my finger originally had a purpose on the garment that it was on. Sometimes the things that stick had a purpose originally, but they've outlived their purpose. They no longer are valid in your life. And you've got to ask the Lord to give you discernment. Which of those things that are stuck to me no longer have a purpose? I mean, you can see by the picture, the old telephone and all these things in the day were cutting technology. They no longer have a purpose. They've been outlived and outdated. So what is stuck to you that is now outlived and outdated, no longer has a purpose? After removing all of the stuck things, it's time to heal. I'm keenly aware of having had some dental work done, and I will be for some time while that heals. When we've removed something that we've become accustomed to, it can create sensitivity in that spot. If you've had bitterness or anger or unforgiveness towards someone and you finally allow God to heal that part of you, it's likely you'll still be fragile. It's likely there will still be some sensitivity there. It will heal, but it may leave a scar. Scars are just healed wounds that turn us into who we're meant to be. I have scars from my past that I can't forget about, and they were very painful, but they were part of my journey with Jesus. If I hadn't walked that road, if I hadn't learned those lessons, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have the depth of relationship with Jesus that I have today. Allow yourself time to heal, because it will get better. Getting rid of the things that are stuck to you should bring relief, joy, and freedom, so that you can be brighter for Jesus, your testimony will be deeper, and you will have freedom walking forward with him. Avoiding those uninvited stick-on passengers. I thought this was a brilliant photo. It is a squirrel on a bird who's an uninvited passenger. How often do we have uninvited passengers jump on us, sometimes as big as a squirrel? And the bird, I mean, dumb bird, like, wouldn't you just stop flapping your wings and the thing would fall off? Like, I don't know. Just like our physical body, we try to stay fit and healthy by exercising, eating well, and getting good rest. I'm not so good at some of those, just so you know. It's the same with our spiritual health. Spending time with God, worship, prayer, and walking in the Spirit is our best defense against the evil one and his plans. It is for our benefit that we go through this process. We are of no use to God if we are stubborn and won't allow him to remove those uninvited passengers. Be open to him and his healing in your life. And to do that, first comes repentance. Keep short accounts. Ask him to reveal to you those things that may be stuck to you and repent. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. And Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through him, faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. God will never turn you away. He will never turn you away. we can approach the throne of God with freedom and confidence. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And when you've repented, we give thanks. Next slide. Many parts of the scripture talk about giving thanks in all circumstances. This is a key to freedom in Christ and living a life of joy. 1 Thessalonians says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you, that you will give thanks in all circumstances, because God knows that if we give thanks, despite the manure, despite what we're walking through, if we give thanks, we will be joyful in the circumstances. I don't read anywhere in the Word that says we won't have any problems. If someone finds that, can you tell me? Because I'll gold plate that on the wall. Nowhere does it say that we won't go through hard stuff. Because we are living in this world. It's part of living a human life in a fallen world. But if we give thanks in all circumstances, makes it so much easier. Doesn't take it away, but it will make the journey to walk through it easier. I really felt today that forgiveness is something that we need to talk about. We all know, people say, forgiveness is about us. It's not about the person who wronged you. It's about you. Marianne Williamson said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. How true is that? And Corrie ten Boom said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover the prisoner was you. Today's Mother's Day, and I feel it's the perfect opportunity to think about that relationship in our lives and how it relates to each of us. I'm privileged today to have my amazing mum in the room, and I am grateful for the example that she has been to me and the lessons I've learned about following Jesus through her. What about your mum? Was the relationship good? Was it difficult? Was it painful or challenging? Was it not loving or nurturing? Maybe you lost your mum too young. Maybe you've just lost your mum. Maybe you didn't know your biological mum or didn't have a good example of mum in your life. Or maybe you had someone else step up to be that mum in your life and be a role model for you. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and close our eyes. When I was praying about today, I felt the Lord say that there are people in this room that have the sticker of unforgiveness on them, and it's been there for a very long time. You've allowed a sticker of unforgiveness as an uninvited passenger in your heart, around your relationship with your mum. Mums are supposed to be safe, loving, nurturing, secure, warm, comforting, protection, unconditionally loved. God is saying today that He is that for you. He has the heart of a mother. He is the example of a real mother and her love. If there's anyone in this room today that just would like to stand about this, feel free to stand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Today's the day to let it go. Today's the day to choose to forgive her Today's the day to be set free from the past and walk into a future where God's love and light shine from within you. Today is the day to forgive her. Lord, we just pray this morning if it wasn't for our mother, Lord, none of us would be in this room. Despite the relationship, Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, that we have you. And for every person in this room, I pray, Lord, right now, as we humble ourselves before you, we repent, Lord, of holding on to that unforgiveness, for that hurt and that pain that may have been caused. Lord, we pray that as we repent right now and just put that sticker on the altar, Lord, that you will burn it up, that it will no longer have any power over us. Lord, for other things that we have may allowed in our life, Lord, to stick to us. Help us to see those things, Lord. Help us to lay them on the altar, Lord, that we may shine brighter for you, that we will push those doors shut, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are the ultimate father and mother. Lord, we thank you for the mothers in the room. We pray, Lord, that you will give a double portion of your blessing. And for those that, Lord, may not have had their own children, but they've been a mother to someone else. Bless them, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.